Aloha, thank you for listening to Healing with Aloha podcast. I'm Desen Hakias. Please follow us on Instagram at Healing with Aloha and also on TikTok, Healing with Aloha. And back to our episode.
Aloha, I'm Desen Hakias. I'm the host of Healing with Aloha podcast. And today I am grateful to have my special guest. His name is Christian Lefer. And we are going to be talking about the value of nonprofit organizations and how we can support a nonprofit organization. Or if you're that one person that's been thinking about it, today is the day that you want to listen in to this episode. And so with further ado, guys, this is Christian. Hi, Christian.
Hey, how's it going? Aloha.
Aloha. So Christian, you know, you've been on this journey for a while. What got you started to even venture into nonprofit organizations?
Well, what really got me started was when I was 8 years old, my mom had taken my little sister to the doctor. And I was outside playing with my friends. I grew up in New Jersey. There was a lot of woods. They tore down that old house. It was in a log cabin with real chinks in between the logs, you know, a little house in the woods. And that ended up getting knocked down to build a big mall that later on as a teenager, I hung around, right? Because you hang around the mall, especially in the 80s. But on that day, my mom left the log cabin and I'm out playing with my friends. And when she came back, she had taken my sister to the doctor because she was almost 4 years old, about 4 years old. And Monique wasn't verbal. She wasn't really progressing past a certain point. And she appeared normal physically and everything, no issues. But when they went to the doctor and did all these tests, they discovered that she was developmentally disabled, what we called back in 1975 or whatever that was, 78. Mentally retarded. And I said, you know, well, whatever, mom, that's fine. I don't have any other sisters to compare her to. And Monique was and still is till today the best human I know, because if you throw the ball to her or you take her out to the park to play, she is your best friend for life. And but she never did develop like the other kids. She's special, right? So I grew up around Special Olympics and doing all these cool things with people who are amazing people who want to help people like my sister. And not long after that, I'm in third grade and I'm walking through the hall. And in the 70s is when they were taking these kids out of institutions and they were putting them into the mainstream schools. It was called mainstreaming. These kids used to just get locked away all the time and not really get to mix it up and have a life as much as normal as possible. So they were bringing them into the elementary school. And I was walking through the hall one day and some other kids came through the hall at the same time as the special kids and were making fun of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. I snapped and I ended up in trouble for getting in a fist fight in third grade in the principal's office. And I folded up my arms and I just would not apologize. And they said, well, you better not do that again. And I said, if they do that again, so will I. And boy, they thought I was going to be a big troublemaker. And maybe I was, but I didn't realize that I had this formative experience where I've always, my whole life, been fighting for the underdog. And I think that's probably from having this experience of my little sister. Now, I didn't realize this then. But then,
right, because you're so young back then.
Right, right. You just, everything's normal to you. Fast forward to 2010, I went to volunteer and form a nonprofit with some of my friends. And I said, oh, you know, you guys start the website and raise some money and do the things and I'll take the application. I mean, how hard can that be? And little did I know how hard it was. And so I became really outraged when I called the IRS and I heard that it was a 1 year delay, 1 year wait to get approved as a nonprofit. And it made me so mad and I didn't understand. Well, I've been to motor vehicle before. Why should I be surprised that this also is painful? But I sat with that for a little bit and it came upon me. I realized it was the same thing, the same level of outrage as third grade, right? Where people are putting obstacles in front of people who want to do good things for people mm-hmm. like my sister. And I decided somebody has to do something about this. So I took the number that they gave me on the little form letter and I changed. my agent was never available. Of course, these people are never there when you want them. So I changed the last couple of numbers and the phone number, and I called about 30 extensions north and south of that.
Because eventually you'll get to someone.
You get somebody. And I probably got, you know, every third, fourth number, somebody would pick up, and I would grill them about what did I need to do? Why was this so painful? Why does it take so long? And what was the perfect file? You know, what would make the perfect file? And then I realized the perfect question. What would make you feel as a bureaucrat in the IRS working on these terrible files all day? What would make you feel like somebody actually gave you love and cared about you by sending you the perfect document? And I put all of this information together that I had gathered, and I called it a love letter to a bureaucrat. And we still call it that in our offices, because that's like the beautiful file that belongs in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, everything is there.
Oh, and the, you know, if you wanted to make, you know, somebody fall in love with you, what kind of, at the IRS, what kind of file would you give them? And lo and behold, I started getting 30, 45, 60 day approvals instead of 1 year. And so I went from blogger to businessman because I was writing about this and people found out I could do this, and the rest is history.
But, you know, I think it's amazing though, because you have to go through it and to understand the struggle.
Yep.
You know, yep. So that when you come across people who desire to make a positive impact and to make a difference, you know, like they hit these walls, these obstacles, and because you went through it, you know what they're talking about. Whereas some people, they're like, I don't know what's the problem, you know, just go through it. But because you literally went through the process, like, you have that empathy and compassion, mm-hmm. and persistence to help people.
Yeah, so many of the world's problems have been solved by someone solving the problem for themselves. I have a friend who is a CPA today, and he got into that business accidentally because his mom was being audited, and he was so angry at the way they were treating her that he stepped in and helped her fight this audit and go through it and everything. And he said, somebody else has to. So it's the same kind of thing, right? We solve these problems that we see, and they go, wait a minute. Somebody wants to pay me for this? Awesome.
Right. Sure. Why not? Why not? You know, help me to understand, like, you know, with everything that you've been doing, like making gains and whatnot, what is some of the stories that people have told you that gave them hope? Because it must be frustrating if you have no one to guide you through it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, first, we don't make ourselves look good at Instant Nonprofit by beating up on other companies. But let's just say if there was a company out there called Rocket Zoom, and they were not taking care of people, right? Because this is a small part of their business. Nonprofit's very difficult. And so we get a lot of people who have refunded or come from other companies where they hired a lawyer for way more than we charge, and the lawyer did not get that ball into the end zone. Well, why is that? Lawyers don't offer guarantees. As a matter of fact, their job is to tell you there are no guarantees, whether it's a criminal case, civil case, or your nonprofit. If you run out of retainer before they finish their job, even if it's their problem, they're too slow, they're too clunky, et cetera, you're left with nothing. Because when you build a bridge 90% of the way across the river, how many cars, where do the cars go? Right. And, you know, so in our case, we guarantee that if you start with us with our done for you 501c3 process, no matter what, how much broken glass we have to crawl across, we are going to get you that IRS approval. And so we've had customers come from other companies and say, I almost gave up on my dream. We had a customer once who took hired a lawyer. They took 35 months to get approval. The donors went away. The directors went away. So much of the opportunity they had, of course, disappears in 3 years. So getting that back on track was huge. And we're doing amazing projects from, and I don't look at the big projects and say, oh, they're the important ones.
Yeah.
Everybody's dream is important to them. So if it's a Mississippi wrestling coach who's just a teacher and a wrestling coach by day and is just trying to help these kids, you know, with rolling up their sleeves and helping in the community, they need to put together a nonprofit so they can get $80,000 in new wrestling mats for the school because the school can't afford it. That's just as important to me as some of these other projects, but we do have some really neat big projects too, like that are improving consciousness and peace and helping people live longer through meditation. Or we are working with a really incredible, talented entrepreneur right now who has left the business successfully. So he has money and contacts and other people who want to help. And he's creating sustainable living projects all over the world that will have people much more in community and relationships and a society that really is going to live sustainably on the land and help each other. I love that idea. And so when I was on the call with him and he was considering using us to start his nonprofit, by the time he got done telling me what he was doing, I was raising my hand saying, how do I sign up for your project?
How can I donate, or how can I volunteer?
Or live, you know, how can I live there in Costa Rica with you or in one of these incredible projects? Because there's a lot of people who feel like the world is not going in a sustainable way with money policy and war and all of the structures that are set up, the social media algorithms set up to have us fighting with each other. This can't survive forever. So it's up to us to really create a society where we're pitching in and helping each other and bringing our real selves and not relying on government or, you know, outside entities to help us, because only you know the miles you have walked and your experience. And so you can help people that have been through the same thing. I adopted a little girl from foster care and she's amazing. And I know the struggles that she went through and that we went through as parents. So I can help in that way. We can all pitch in with our own experience, and then we can take that pain and that trauma that we've had and turn it into something beautiful. Because there's a saying in foster care, and you may have heard this, hurt people, right?
Yeah.
And I like to say hurt people, and then they help people, because you can transform that energy and that pain into something beautiful to help other people. And I love that idea.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think when that hurt person chooses to get help to heal, you know, heal people, heal others too.
Yes, exactly.
It's awesome. You know, and so there is that transition, but it's ultimately our choice and the process it takes. What else we were talking about earlier is that the beauty of nonprofits, they're able to meet needs in unique ways that you can't with the government or you can't with for-profit. Is that something that you see that is the benefit and why people should go forward with starting their nonprofit?
Definitely. I mean, you can't save the world if you can't pay the rent. So having an economic engine, like a business to produce something that people need, I mean, that is, in my opinion, that's a good thing too. But in either alongside of that, some people who have businesses, if they have maybe a construction company, they start a Habitat for Humanity type company and give the guys and ladies who are doing the roofs and the construction half a day off on Friday to go give back with their special skill set and the leftover materials. That can actually help the business, because that is helping that business be seen as an organization that gives back. And the leaders of that organization can go to the school function or the auction or the other things in the community and represent that it's not just about making money, it's about contributing back. Because when we have the things that we need, Maslow's hierarchy, right? When we have the things that we need, food, shelter, love and belonging, and all of those other things, what do we want to do? We want to self-actualize. And that almost always has some component of contributing back to others.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And if everything is just work, and then you don't feel like you're being a part of humanity and stuff like that, you lose your drive, you lose your passion, purpose. And so I think it's important. Let me ask you, so what is the value of someone starting a nonprofit if they're already, like you kind of shared that, but with the construction company, but like if you're not in construction, like what is the value of a company considering starting a nonprofit in conjunction with their business?
they can either start it in conjunction with their business or independently, but some of the value that having a nonprofit business entity structure, right? It's like every other business, it starts at the state level. That's the nonprofit corporation. It's a specific type of corporation entity that you start when you want to do a nonprofit. But what really gives a nonprofit its special flavor, its special benefits is it's not taxed at the corporate level. So you don't have a corporate income tax, which is, I think, 28%. And so that's able to be retained and used for the mission. And then the other biggest benefit to nonprofits is the tax deductibility. So say you make $100,000 a year.
Right.
And not only will you, if you give $10,000 away, so you'll only be taxed on $90,000, right? Because that terrible $10,000 doesn't count as income because that's what tax deductibility does. It also might knock you down from a 28% tax bracket to a 23% tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So you're paying less percentage on what you're being taxed. And that can make a huge difference for someone in the hundred and now it's a lot of money, 170,000 or so, 169. If someone gives away $5,000 to go from 172 to $167,000, they'll save like $15,000 or $20,000 on taxes because they gave away that $5,000. Well, that $5,000 is probably going to be used very efficiently, more efficiently than government, because nonprofits are extremely efficient, whereas government is not efficient. So everybody benefits, and that person is able to feel good, and they'll probably go volunteer at the nonprofit that they gave the money to. Maybe not, maybe. But then it kind of, this contributes to the whole ecosystem. And those are the two biggest benefits for, from a business perspective, of why to start something inside a nonprofit entity.
Yeah, no, and that's important for people to know. Not everybody considers that, like, you know, you grew up around nonprofit organizations. I mean, even when you said like first Special Olympics, like that's a major one, you know, and just seeing what goes on in the front end, but on the back end, the complexity that can move on. But I think it's key in how you're helping people to create that structure to open a door to start.
Yeah. And all of these nonprofits are, they're like every other business. You know, I don't like the term nonprofit as much. I wish we used for purpose instead.
Oh, that's a good, I like that. That sounds better.
But I can't make that happen by myself, but someday. But when you give to that nonprofit, yes, you're seeing the people, the volunteers at the Special Olympics event, and you're seeing the flags and the kids and my sister running around the track, always getting second place because she would stop to high five her fans in the stands. And then the other kid would run by and she'd get back on the track. But behind all of those big events and the things, it's like everything in the world that you see on TV. There's bookkeepers in the background. There's the janitor that cleans the floors at their Special Olympics building. One out of nine jobs in America is in the nonprofit or government sector. It's massive sector. $4.3 trillion under management and over $250 billion per year given just by private companies and individuals. For anything that people have to say about the United States, we are generous. People want to beat up on billionaires and millionaires, but truly the US gives away more money in charity than every other country combined in the entire world. So it is a huge part of our ecosystem, and people don't even realize necessarily, but those groups that they get involved with on the weekend, or that the parent teacher organizations, all of the little organizations that make the world go around in our local communities that help keep our communities together are mostly nonprofits.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a lot of people don't really sit down to look at it and see like, you know, there is a purpose. And sometimes, you know, it's you being creative in fulfilling that purpose. I think what I liked what you said earlier is that no matter how big or small, you know, the ability to make a positive impact on people's lives is key.
Definitely. I mean, I had a discussion earlier today and somebody said, well, what if you don't know if your nonprofit idea or whatever is going to be successful, whether you're going to be able to raise money for it or whatever. And my philosophy is, you don't need to stop your entire life. Now, if you want to switch from doing a corporate job or you're getting out of a business and you have some funds and some resources, great. Then you can start nonprofit and pre-fund it and put some money into it, raise some money, try to make it work. But you can also, if you love animals, you could just open your home or your garage to helping get some dogs through the, you know, it's not just about the ASPCA now. Now people, because of the internet and whether it's Facebook or whatever, they can set up a foster dog center in their garage and just have their friends over to play with the puppies, you know, and play with the dogs and then consider adopting one of the dogs, right? This costs zero, except you get to have a pot of coffee and some cake and, you know, crackers, and you get to have a little party with these animals, and then people fall in love with them and hopefully provide them a good home.
Yeah.
You just did something that didn't cost anything. You don't need to raise money for it. But the number one thing is, if you can find something that brings you joy and then also intersects with value somehow, well, that's called ikigai, right? There's a Japanese term where these things come into one place of a business model and something you truly enjoy and something you're good at. But it's easy to go ahead and try to do some of these things. And the way that you can get free dog food and free crates and things like that given to you by the supermarket and the pet store and things is just by starting a nonprofit. And so that's why we at Instant Nonprofit were out to democratize starting a nonprofit, so that going from an idea to an IRS approved 501c3 nonprofit could be done completely for you, so that you can focus on that mission. I mean, we have packages as low as $1,000, including the government fees, to get something started. Well, that's easy to raise. That's 20 people giving you $50. Now, yes, we have packages that help people fundraise and do all kinds of other amazing things up into the tens of thousands of dollars. It's not important how much it is. It's about finding the right thing that fits what somebody wants to do. And if that's a part-time volunteer effort, you can really keep the cost and the hassle down to a minimum, so that you can focus on getting those dogs and finding them great homes that they're making people's lives happier, and the dogs certainly benefit from it as well.
Yeah, no, and I think that's great. Like you said, like, everybody, depending on their mission, it's going to be at different levels and the needs, the financial needs and whatnot. And so just taking the time to sit down and maybe, like, you know, discussing with you guys, because since you guys have helped so many people come through, you know, to start their nonprofits, the ideas that you have generated, the solutions, you know, for fundraising, it's going to come more clearly to you because you guys have been around longer and processing that, you'll be able to help someone who considers you guys, your services.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's about finding out whether it's something that's right for you, finding out if you have something that is, you know, like I said, brings you joy, and then, you know, trying things, you know, doing things is the best way to find out if it's going to work. Some people, you know, they don't know if it's going to work, but certainly if any of your listeners want to learn more about what it takes to start a nonprofit or what you need to do before starting a nonprofit, you need a name. You need a mission statement that's not pages and pages long. You do have to have a very small board, but that can just be a couple of friends. You can find out how easy this can be and what the requirements are by going to instantnonprofit.com/aloha, and your listeners can get a free 10-day boot camp, which is everything you need to get started ahead of doing the nonprofit. Or you can get lots of other free resources on all kinds of things questions you might have, or schedule a free strategy session. Because sometimes people just want to talk about their idea and then think about it for a little while and then talk to their friends or their husband, spouse, whatever, and see if they can get the support that they need. And it's surprising. Sometimes people keep this stuff in their heart for years and they don't share it. And then when they do, people say, yeah, I'd love to do that with you. So that's, we always just learn more, find out what you can do, and then see if you can get started on a small basis.
Well, I think it's great that you guys do offer strategy calls and allowing people to explore the idea before they actually jump in and to commit, because then they can know if they're ready, or at least they can have an idea what to expect when they are ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know Les Brown is one of your favorite speakers, and he said, where's the richest place for ideas and dreams? It's in the grave.
Because it's in the what?
The graveyard.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's true.
That's where all the ideas of books that never happened, music, movies, and whatnot. And so I think it's great, like you said, you know, to contact you guys and to explore the ideas. And if you're ready now, great. If not, at least you can count the cost and consider what it's going to take to move forward with starting your nonprofit.
Yeah, I get really excited. Sometimes I must have done about 6,000 discovery calls over time. And some of my favorite calls have been with people over 80 years old, and they say, well, I'm not dead yet. And they have an idea because they're experiencing something, and they say, no one's here to give the people the advice about this medication or assisted living or whatever. And they still are just going to go for it until the very last breath. And I just think that's great, because they've paid a lot for their experience. We've all paid a lot for the experience. The gray here on my beard, I've paid a lot for. So why not turn that into something wonderful for somebody else somewhere?
You know, I would think also because of the experience that you had, that you would be able to cross-reference like an idea, like, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, have you considered this? So I think even more so people should reach out to you and your business, because sometimes you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the experience, you don't have the pool of people, but there's people out there. And so you can become that bridge that connect people to other people. And then, you know, that creates that extra passion and fire for them to launch forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, from environmental projects, and I've seen some amazing things going on in Hawaii and all over. People are just starting to get together with each other and do amazing things that really change it. It changes history, at least for one person, but sometimes it'll change history on a big scale, because people learn what you're doing and how you explore it a better way. And this takes hold elsewhere. So it's really neat to see that happen.
Yeah, no. And I think, it's great that you have chosen to go into this type of passion and purpose project, because, you know, with everything going on in the world with the pandemic and, you know, nothing's sure, you know, and now is the time for us to really step back and go, okay, do I want to continue this, or is the time now?
We are hearing a lot about that all over the world, right? They call it the Great Resignation. And people are looking on one hand at their daily activities. What am I spending my life on? And then they're looking at their values. And if they don't match, they are quitting the job, or they're making a change in their lives. Then that's called the Great Resignation, right? There's so many people really reevaluating their priorities, because the pandemic forced us to spend more time with our family, have to decide who has the power to tell us what to do, and what does all of this mean anyway? So it's really a hard time for so many people, but it's a really good time because we're being forced to realize and assess whether we're valuing our hearts and valuing what we're called to do, that we often push away because of the next promotion or the next, you know, need to just feed the family and make the check the next week. But we can all make some adjustments and value ourselves and value our calling a little bit and our special gifts and everything. And that's why, you know, we turn this into, instead of 20 hours to start a nonprofit of work, most of our customers are, it's less than an hour. And so that allows a lot of the burdens to be removed. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be hard to make a difference.
Yes, because you know that's a lot of anxiety, you know, to do, and then to know that somebody is able to break down, you know, in the Hawaiian Islands, there's a lot of nonprofits, and I'm sure there's a lot of more people out there who would still want to, you know, launch their own nonprofit. And so I'm glad that you guys have that. What is the best way for people to contact you?
The best way is to go to our website. And like I said, we set up a special link just for your listeners at instantnonprofit.com/aloha.
Okay.
And they can get the bootcamp, free resources, strategy session. We have so many things available on our website. And I do get to talk to a lot of people. I don't get to do every single call, but I love
kind of just right.
good energy from people who are trying to do good things. So we'd love to help anyone who's listening. And I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to reach out. Our team is so full of heart-centered, cool people who are also badasses at what they do. And, you know, if you can find that combination, then life's good.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, you start with a goal, you start with a dream, and you have a purpose, and you line yourself with people who are able to get you there, like you're gonna win. You're gonna struggle, you're gonna win, and you keep getting back up again and again and again. Wow, Christian, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Like you said, you know, it's not you touch one life, but later down the road, you don't realize you change history. And so thank you for everything that you do and your team, because it takes a team to make all of this great movement in the world. And so guys, if you aren't following now, please subscribe today to Healing with Aloha podcast, and we'll see you guys again. Aloha.
Aloha.